Today with Joseph Prince.
The Bible says there are many things Jesus did, many miracles, that if all of them were written, I suppose that all the books in the world could not contain all that he said and did. Amen. If you see this man that you spend time with, amen, with the power to calm the storm, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to heal the sick, to unstop deaf ears and open the blind eyes. You spend 3.5 years with him and you see him go to the cross and submitting himself to death. Death cannot come on him. Death tried to come on him a number of times. He turned it around and death had to bow before him. Amen.
The enemy was always there behind my shoulder saying, "You messed up again. How can you be, you know, living up to God's expectations and standards?"
I was always feeling condemned. I never was seeing in my life the things that the Bible actually talked about.
And what really set me free, or at least in the right path, is believing that, you know what? Doesn't matter how many times you mess up, I'm still going to love you. And that inspiration, that power of grace, really provided me the opportunity to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
When I heard Joseph Prince, I just began to know that this was a missing link. This was the key. I had found it. And every time I hear him, I just get freer and freer and freer.
If the gospel of grace has impacted your life, I would like to invite you to join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. Let's advance the gospel of grace together. Visit the link on your screen to be part of living a legacy of grace today.
Today we celebrate Resurrection Day. Resurrection is the greatest power in the whole universe. Once upon a time, death was the greatest power on earth. Because of man's sin, death came in. God never had that as part of his love plan for his children. When God made man and woman, God never wanted them to contract disease, grow old, and die. That's not the Father's plan for his family. He made everything good for them, but then God gave them a choice, the free choice, to choose life, to continue with him in compliance, in agreement with all that he has for them. But man, with the free choice, chose to rebel against God. And as a result, down through the eons of time, like what God said, the day you sin, dying, you shall die. Dying spiritually, man will die physically in the future. It's not God's heart. God's heart was broken. So as a result, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God so loved the world, God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to take not only the sins, but to suffer the death for you and I on that cross. See, down to the eons of time, people, death was the most powerful force on planet Earth. No one can escape it. No child, no man, no woman. Wherever you go, you can hide in the highest mountain, swim in the deepest ocean. Death will find you one day. So down to the corridors of time, death came marching for men, every man. But finally, there came a man, and he came looking for death to destroy it. And that's why we celebrate Resurrection Day. Because the Bible says, through man came death, by man also came the resurrection. And resurrection today transcends death. Hallelujah. It is now the greatest power in the whole universe. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And because he is the resurrection and the life, he's here right now. You see, resurrection has this quality, people. Resurrection is not coming and going. Resurrection is appearing and disappearing. It transcends time and it transcends space. Now Jesus can appear and then he can disappear. So it's a matter of us having eyes to see or not to see. Because today Jesus is not circumscribed by time. He is not limited by space or geography. In Israel, when he was here, they had to go to where he is to receive healing. They had to go to where Jesus is. He was limited by time and space. But when he rose from the dead, he could appear and he could disappear. Transcend time and space. And Jesus today is here right now. He can be there online where you are watching. And friend, he comes not to be a spectator in our midst. He comes not to be looking at you and say, you look good today. He comes to impart, to supply, to provide, to heal, to deliver. That's the nature of love. His heart is so full of love, it pains him not to be able to give to you. Will you be among those today that will allow him to heal you, allow him to do good to you, allow him to bless you, allow him to give whatever he has in his heart for you? Will you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of his earth will grow strange. It is in the light of his glory and grace. And my friend, if it's not a question of coming or going, it's a question of appearing and disappearing. Today, Jesus in his resurrected form is here. Amen. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, that's our part. Amen. He says, peace I leave with you. Let not. And I cannot let not for you. Your spouse cannot let not for you. Your friend cannot let not for you. You gotta let not. Amen. Amen. From now on, will you just, whatever worries come to your mind about tomorrow, tomorrow will take care of itself, the Bible says. He gives us this day our daily bread, not weekly bread, not monthly bread, our daily bread. Amen. So what do you say? Forget it. Don't worry about it. Cut off. Out. Amen. When the day comes, the provision will be there. God will take care of me, because God is a present day God. Amen. He's a right now God, a very present help. Amen. So don't live in the future. You know how you live in the future? You worry. You worry about things that has not happened, as if right now it is happening. Your body feels like it is happening. Don't waste your emotions. Don't waste your peace of mind on something that has not yet happened. But God says, I am that I am. Not I will be that I will be. Not I was that I was, but I am that I am. What does that mean? You want to find God? You want to stay in the realm of God where all things are possible? Amen. Where provisions flow, where there is healing and wholeness, stay in the present. Don't let your mind go to the future. And don't live in the past. The past is what? What is the past? Regret, guilt of something that is done already that you cannot change. You're still living in the past. Stop it. For your peace of mind, for your health, live now. The past is gone. Say, amen. Where is God? He didn't say, I will be that I will be, or I was that I was. I am that I am. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Fist bump at least 3 persons before you are seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I got 20 minutes to preach to all of you. 2 years supply for a physical audience. Hey, Resurrection Day. It's not a question of going or coming. It's a question of appearing or disappearing. Amen. You know, Jesus raised, that's what's recorded for us in the Gospels. The Bible says there are many things Jesus did, many miracles, that if all of them were written, I suppose that all the books in the world could not contain all that he said and did. That's what was said in John. John says, I suppose all the books in the world cannot contain. Amen. But what is recorded for us in the Gospels, we have 3 accounts of Jesus raising the dead. I alluded to that earlier. Jairus' daughter, her age is mentioned. She was 12 years old when Jesus raised her from the dead. And then there's a young man of Nain, the widow's son. And because she's a widow, her husband had passed on, all her hope is wrapped up in this boy. We're not told how old he is. A young man could be a teenager, and he just died. So Jairus' daughter, 12 years of age, and just died as Jesus was coming to the house because she was sick. As Jesus was on his way, she died. So we know she just died. The young men of Nain, they bury people in those days on the same day they die. They're very quick about such things. So probably he died hours earlier, right? Longer than Jairus' daughter. But because of this, some people might say that Jesus did not raise the dead, right? These people actually, maybe they were just, they had a fainting spell or something like that. Jesus just resuscitated them. So because of that, we have a third example, the raising of Lazarus. Now Jesus waited. Jesus waited. Now do you know why Jesus waited? The Bible says Lazarus was dear to his heart, just like his sisters Martha and Mary. They were very dear to Jesus' heart. They opened up their house to Jesus. Lazarus and his sisters will welcome Jesus, and it's like a home away from his home. He came a long way. He wasn't so comfortable in Jerusalem, the religious center. He was at home in Bethany, where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary stayed. And now the Bible says Lazarus is sick. He's dying. So the news came to Jesus, and Jesus was at a place called Bethabara, a place of crossing. Why crossing? That's the place, the time of Joshua, they crossed there with the Ark of the Covenant, a picture of resurrection. And that's where Jesus was when they came to Jesus saying, notice how they came to him. They said that he whom you love is sick. What a nice approach, huh? Hey, you know, the one you love is sick. How do you get the Lord's attention, right? And the Bible says Jesus did something strange to the human mind. He stayed 2 more days. Amen? 2 more days. Okay, you're not listening to what I said earlier in the service, right? You know, what did I say in the 2 years talking to an empty auditorium? Your laugh at home, your clap at home, your shout amen at home, I cannot hear. Now I can. Amen. Let me hear some sound behind that mask. So, Jesus waited 2 more days. You see, Jesus is not moved by human sentiment. Many a times, we miss the will of God because of our human sentiment. We're moved by human sentiment. Amen. Jesus is not moved by human sentiment. He loved Lazarus. He loved Martha and Mary. But he stayed put 2 more days. Why? Like I told you just now, he's got to prove beyond the shadow of any doubt Lazarus is deader than dead. So after 4 days, after Lazarus has been dead for how long? 4 days, Jesus came on the scene. And a lot of Jewish people were there. And Martha came crying to Jesus, said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Now, I want to tell you something about this man. What would you think if you spent time in company with a man who spoke to the dead and the dead comes alive? What would you think? And if you see this man, every time he speaks to the dead comes alive. He speaks to leprosy, leprosy departs. He speaks to demons, they are cast out. He speaks to disease and sickness, they flee before him. He speaks to the storm and the storm kowtow. And there's a perfect calm. If you spend time with this man for 3.5 years and you see the power in his words, and you see this man with power over death going into death himself. You see this man going into death himself. What do you think is going to happen? Just like David's mighty man, when there's one of the mighty men listed in the list of mighty men of David, one of them fought with a lion on a snowy day in a pit. Now, how many know that to fight with a lion, even on a non-snowy day, a normal day, don't have to mention the pit, all right? There's no hope for you fighting with a lion. This mighty man of David, one of David's mighty men, fought with a lion on a snowy day in a pit. So it's like you hear the man jump into the pit where the lion was, and you hear the roar and the tarts and all that, and you think to yourself, only one will come out. In the natural, the world says the lion will come out. And out came David's mighty man. And the lion dead. So if you see this man that you spend time with, amen, with the power to calm the storm, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to heal the sick, to unstop deaf ears and open the blind eyes, you spend 3.5 years with him and you see him go to the cross and submitting himself to death. Death cannot come on him. Death tried to come on him a number of times. He turned it around and death had to bow before him. They try to heal him before the time, they cannot. My Bible says he cried with a loud voice. Yes, he was suffering. Yes, there's pain. But with all the power he had, when he finished everything, the Bible says he cried with a loud voice. Finish! Satan vanquished, the law magnified, God glorified, man redeemed. Amen. He cried with a loud voice. No one can kill him before his time. They came to arrest him in the garden. He asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, we are looking for Jesus. These people had knives. They had spears. They brandished their swords in the air. And they said, we are looking for Jesus. Jesus is unarmed. Amen. What did he do? He stepped forward. He says, I am. And they all fell. Just those power in his... Just declaring who he is, I am, they all fell. In resurrection, there's no time. Jesus doesn't move with, you know, like yesterday, today. He is always in the now. Birds are always provided for. They never go hungry. And one thing about birds, they never have a schedule of time. It's 9 o'clock. We have to be here. All right? Have you done your homework? Have you done this? No, they just do whatever they have the flow to do in their spirit, in their man. Instinctively, they don't have a spirit, soul, in their inner man. We are the only ones bound by time. God lives outside time. So Jesus came on the scene and Martha says, if you had been here, so she pushed Jesus to the past. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And who is standing in front of her? 2 years, come on. You're like that story I just said, you know, on the cross, you know. Not the Jesus I know. One more time. Jesus! Yeah, come on. That's the church I knew. Just for a moment, I thought I came to the wrong church. Pastor Mark was sitting in the front row just now. Pastor Mark. So I said, Pastor Mark, people want to see your face. You need to remove your mask. So he removed his mask. The camera was on him. As soon as he removed his mask, I said, Put it back on! I said.
You know, Pastor Mark and I are good friends, okay? We like to tease each other. We even go for holidays together. Mark is my dear friend, okay? So I can make fun of him. Especially when he's not around in this service. So she pushed Jesus to the past. Then Jesus said, "What? Your brother will rise again." What did she say? "I know he will rise at the last day." You know what Jesus said to her? "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You know what Jesus is saying to her? She just said, "What? I know my brother will rise at the last day." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." That means I am the last day. There is no last day. I am the last day. I am is present tense. For those who are learning English, am, present tense. Amen? You is understanding. I am is present tense. God lives in the present. He doesn't live in the future. So stop your worry about the future. There's no grace there. When you worry about the future, you only get more and more depressed. God doesn't seem to help you because that's not the realm He lives in. That's not the realm He blesses. If you live in the past, regret. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. I wish I didn't do this. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I was... You know, if you live in the past, there's no grace there. You get more and more depressed. You get more and more worried. There's no favor there because God doesn't live there. Where does God live? Now. Amen? He lives now. What did Jesus tell her? "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead." Notice "though" is supposition. Another English lesson. Isn't it wonderful you all come to church, you all learn English lesson, amen? All right, from Pastor Mark and me. All right, "though he were dead." "Though" means not everyone will die. There's a generation that won't see death. And I believe we are that generation. Yes. I'll tell you right now, I believe we are that generation because we passed by the 2,000-year mark. We passed by Y2K and the world still goes on and all computers are still functioning, all right? We passed by Y2K, the year 2000. Why is that important? Because do you remember the picture of the ark going into the River Jordan? That's a picture of Jesus' death at the cross. The Ark of the Covenant is a picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And the priest carried the ark. And God said this to them, "When you take the ark and you go into the River Jordan, make sure there is a..." Let me read that to you. "Make sure there's a 2,000 cubits." The officer says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it." About what? 2,000 cubits. Why not 1,000? Why not 3,000? Exactly 2,000 cubits between it and you. What is the Lord saying here? There's no insignificant details in the Bible. Everything there has a purpose, even numbers. Why 2,000 cubits? 2,000 years. Do you know right now, you who passed the 2,000-year mark, we are living in the day around, we don't know when exactly, but we are definitely past 2,000 years from the time Jesus went into the River Jordan. The Bible says the ark will go in first. And God told the children of Israel, "Don't come near the ark. There must be a 2,000 cubits." By the way, in the natural, 2,000 cubits is about 1 kilometer. That's quite a distance, you know. So the priest carrying the ark, a picture of Jesus, will go into the River Jordan. And at that time, the Bible says in Joshua 3, that River Jordan at that time overflows its banks. It's very deep, dangerous to cross at that time. Isn't it like God to always choose the hardest moments to show His glory? It's like Jesus entering death in all its power. Amen? He entered into death. Guess who will come out? Alive. Jesus and death knocked out. Amen? Then you say, "But Pastor Prince, people still die. Even Christians die." Yes, what did Jesus say? "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." So there is, "though" means you don't have to die. "Though" means supposition. "Though he may die, yet shall he live." So if you die before Jesus comes, amen, death is like sleeping for the believer. Death has no more power, no more sting in it. Amen. And there's a generation that will not see death. And the Bible says when Jesus comes again, those who have already died in Christ, right, they will go up first in their new bodies. And then we will be caught up together to meet the Lord with them in the air. So God is saying, you see the ark in the river, Jordan, right? The moment the ark, the priest carried the ark, steps in the river Jordan, God slapped the rivers, right? All the way back 30 miles to a place called Adam. Why Adam? Why is the city called Adam 30 miles away, River Jordan? Today is still in Israel, the city Adam. You know what God is saying? There's no insignificant what details in the Bible. Even names carry meanings. Amen. Show them that verse, right? The waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam. Adam means man. The city that is beside Zaratan. What is Zaratan? Zaratan means their distress, their trouble. When Adam sinned, how many know he brought trouble and distress upon mankind, plus death? Isn't it amazing? The Bible says God slapped the waters of judgment. All the curses, all the sicknesses, all the troubles that Adam brought because of his sin, all the way back to Adam's time, with all their distresses, with all their troubles. Oh, I wish we can see that scene when the high priest carried the ark and stepped, the moment they stepped into the River Jordan, overflowing, don't forget, overflowing, speaking of the power of death, the moment the steps of the priest was there meeting the water, God slapped the water 30 miles. Can you imagine the pillar of water? No wonder Jericho trembled in their boots. Before, a few days before their city crashed, they saw the pillar of water. Now, the priest stood still in the middle of the River Jordan. That's Jesus. He remained on the cross until every judgment meant for you, meant for me, meant for our families, fell upon Jesus. Stroke after stroke after stroke, he was bearing our sins. There was no sins of his own to bear. He was carrying our sins. Stroke after stroke after stroke after stroke after stroke until no more stroke left. But he remained. And he shout, finished! That's why God sent his son. 10 minutes more. Now, this is prophetic timing, 10 minutes. Those who have ears to hear, let him hear. All right? I'll try to let you go, okay? But 2 years contained inside here, right? The mouth quite small, so I'm doing my best. May your tribe increase, sister. May your tribe increase. Now listen. The people came, right? 2,000 cubits. When the people came, you and I, 2,000 years from Jesus. Right now, the year 2022 is after 2,000 years. Of what? Jesus going into the River Jordan. A picture of him going into death. Amen. That's what baptism means. You are on the other side of judgment. Judgment cannot touch you. It's not in front of you. Death is not in front of you. Judgment is not in front of you. It's behind you. What's in front of you? Mansions of glory. Amen. It's in front of you. Praise God. And all the blessings of God. We have to reckon all this true. Now listen, when the children of Israel came to where the priest was, the priest was still there, right in the middle of the River Jordan. And the pillar of water can be seen, swaying in the sky. And the children of Israel, when they came to River Jordan, remember, just a few hours ago, it was overflowing in its bank. Death sometimes can appear like so fierce. It's total. It comes upon everyone. No one can defeat it. But now, when the children of Israel came to the river that represents death, Jordan, they step into the River Jordan. Now the people's turn, right? Not one. They didn't see one drop of water.
when the time comes for you, if Jesus do not come back in our lifetime, I believe he is. But if he doesn't come back, you won't feel one drop of death. Amen. Even your heart stops beating, you'll say, whoa, where am I? My goodness, I feel so alive. Whoa, I feel so good. All right? And then angel brings a mirror. Oh, I look so handsome. From hand few, handsome. In heaven is hand much. Oh, Pastor Prince, you're so corny. I agree, because the Bible says Joseph sold corn. That's the epitome of corny. Jesus' death cleared the way for us. Amen. To go to the other side. And when they came to the other side, you know what? The other side of Jordan means resurrection ground. And what did the Bible say? Just as Christ died to sin once and for all, likewise, in the same way, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God on the other side, in Christ Jesus, which means the other side. Believers, you are not a people on the judgment side. You are not a people on the weak side. You're not a people on the cursed side. You have crossed the River Jordan. You're on the other side. Let me close with this. This is the first close of the seven closes. No, this is the final close, I think. This is what God said to them. Where the priests stand in the middle of the empty riverbed, there are stones around. God says, each leader of the 12 tribes take one stone on their shoulder. So it's a big stone. And bring it to the other side on resurrection ground. And then the stone on the other side, bring it back to the middle of the riverbed. When the priest, everyone, I love this phrase in Joshua 4, when everyone was clean Passover, not just Passover, clean Passover. Let me tell you this. Joshua did not say, I'm sorry, you there, you stay back, okay? You cannot cross the River Jordan because I saw you quarreling with your wife yesterday. And you over there, you didn't do your quiet time. All right, I know, I didn't see you praying at all. And you down there, no, everyone, clean, pass over. If you are born again, I don't care what level of spiritual life you are at, when Jesus comes again, you are going up. Amen, you have a brand new body forever. A body that doesn't come and go, it appears and disappears. Are you listening? And when your children ask you, Joshua says, when your children ask you next time on the other side, what are these 12 stones, Papa, Abba? You must tell them, these 12 stones represent you and I. We died in the death of Jesus, and now we are alive on resurrection ground. Death is behind us. Sin is behind us. The curse is behind us. Judgment is behind us. The devil is behind us. That's why it means get thee behind me. He's not in front of you. We have to reckon this true. That's how we walk in resurrection power. Amen. Amen. Now listen. I'm going to do a final close on this. I can only give as much as you pull. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. Oh! Whoa! Because you asked, I'm going to give you this final one. This final one. Jesus' resurrection is not like when he raised Lazarus from the dead, or Jairus' daughter from the dead, or the young man of Nain from the dead. All of them died again. Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. The resurrection of Jesus is not being raised from the dead. Amen. It is on the other side of grave. It is destroying death. Amen. Do you know that Lazarus, when he came out bound hand and foot. He was wrapped up in linen cloth. And the Jewish people, when they wrap you, they wrap you. Some people say, oh, Jesus was not dead. But by the time they wrap you and put you 3 days, 3 nights inside there, you are dead. Now, when they wrap you and then, you know, linen cloth, then they put like raisin gum
like a glue. And then the whole, like a mummy that the body is inside, becomes hard. Are you listening? That's when Jesus says, just two words. Lazarus! He had to say Lazarus because it was a place where a lot of people were buried. You see, if he just said, come forth, you know what's gonna happen, right? One day he will say, come forth, and all of us will be going up. Come up here, amen? So he had to specify who is the one. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he came forth, listen carefully, bound hand and foot. Now, some people think that he came forth, bound hand and foot, bound. How did he walk? It was a levitation, man. When Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, God raised him, levitated him, and brought him out. Remember they roll away the stone, Ray? He was levitated like this, and plunk, boom. Still bound. He cannot move. Then Jesus said to those around, loose him and let him go. You see, Lazarus was raised from the dead, still bound by grave clothes. Jesus was also wrapped with like swaddling cloths, linen cloths, his body after he died. Remember at the cross, they wrapped him up. And of course, like raising is put down there and all that. But when he rose from the dead, he came out of that substance. Why? In the resurrection body, you can feel the resurrection body. After Jesus rose from the dead, he told Peter, he told Thomas, he told the people in the upper room, handle me, a ghost, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And yes, Singaporean, you can eat in that new body. Because Jesus ate in that new body. Are you listening? Just let you know that as we are preaching, as I'm preaching right now, they are watching online, the first service. Don't tell them, it's shorter. Extra tidbits. You know, the shepherd carries, feeds the lamb and all that, but the lamb that's in his bosom is the one that gets extra tidbits. We are my bosom pals. You know why? Because my wife is in this service. Wife, singular. And she's every woman in the world to me. Okay. Where was I? Jesus being raised from the dead is not like the way Lazarus was raised or Jairus' daughter. They were raised, but they were still bound by the power of death. They would die in the future still. Jesus' power of resurrection in which we partake is not being raised or being brought back to life. You can say that those three were brought back to life. But Jesus conquered death. You know, and in that body, you can transcend time and space. Amen? Appear and disappear. He appeared in the upper room. He appeared suddenly in the upper room. Right? And in our bodies, we appear and disappear. You know why? It's faster than light. The speed of light is what, 186,000 miles per second? Right? Or 186,000 miles per second, I think. We are faster than that in our new body. Don't anyhow appear in my mansion. But we'll be faster than the speed of light. That's why Jesus, when he was raised, when he rose from the dead, his body transcends that chrysalis, that cocoon of that outer layer. And that's why the Bible says that when the disciples came, they saw the linen cloth and they believed. There's no way you can come out like that unless you transcend it. The only part that he folded was the face cloth. The face cloth wasn't glued like raisin on the face. It was just placed on the face. That one, the Bible says, Jesus folded and placed it in one corner. Someone said, you know, I think the thieves came and break through. There's no way thieves can break through because you know why? There were two Roman guards. And the Roman guards know if anyone steals the body, you know what's going to happen to them? The law at that time is that they'll be burned alive in their bodies and in their clothes. There's no way. Another thing is this, which thief steal a body got time to fall? Hey bro, think leh. And guys, think about it. What would be the first thing you do when you are raised from the dead in a body that cannot die, that cannot grow old, that cannot be sick? Never again. What would you do? The first thing, fold clothes. It's not something small, you know. The first thing Jesus did, he folded clothes and we are... That's a private revelation, by the way. Amen. He transcended. The stone wasn't rolled away for him to go out. It was rolled away by the angel for the people outside to look in. He can transcend time and space. He can appear and disappear. Amen. And my time is up. All right. Listen, my friend. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means in the very beginning, God never meant for man to die. And that's why God hates death. I sometimes wonder whether you believe that, that God hates death. Jesus hates death. That's why he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He remembered this was not to be. Even though people say, oh, he wept because Lazarus died. No, he knows he's going to raise Lazarus. He wept because he knew his father's heart, his father's dream, his father's plan for mankind was not for man to die. So friend, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If that is you, you're going to pray this prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Pray this prayer with me right now. And all the church, let's all pray this together to encourage them. Amen. If you want to experience the resurrection power of Jesus, death may come into your life. But listen, for you, if you're without Christ, death will come. If you are in Christ, and I speak to the rest here, death may come, but it has lost its sting. All of a sudden, you'll be so alive. That's all you know. Because death has lost its victory, lost its sting. But if you are without Christ, death will come one day. And that's why men dread death. They don't like to talk about it. They don't like to be conscious of it. But it's there all the time. So friend, listen. Jesus, his resurrection transcends death. And that power can be in you right now if you put your trust in the risen Christ. If that is you, wherever you are right now, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I confess him. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe you raised him from the dead. All my sins are put away by the blood of Jesus. I'm a risen man. In Jesus' name, amen. Arise, you risen ones. Smile your neighbor and say, I'm a risen man or woman. I'm a risen man in an unresurrected body. Amen. If when Jesus comes back, that body will be changed. That's the only part of you that will be changed. Amen. And changed forever. Hallelujah. Forever strong. Forever healthy. Forever young. Forever alive. You cannot die anymore. For how long? Forever and ever. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. I want to bless you all and bring a beautiful woman on stage. If she is around. And a cute little boy. After 2 years, you see how tall he has become. This woman here ministered to the halfway house, the Turning Point, on Good Friday. She preached a great sermon about the Father's love. And this boy, yeah.
Hello, church. Blessed Resurrection Day, everyone. Yeah, it's so wonderful to get to be back here together to see you all again. We really missed all of you. I just want you to know that, you know, welcome home. This is your home. And Jesus is the master of this home. And we are His family. We are His beloved family. So never feel that you're alone with no one to reach out to. We are more than a community, we are family. So remember, if ever you need help, reach out to someone in the church. There'll always be someone there for you. Amen. Welcome back.
Now I wish I passed the mic to you much earlier during my sermon. You want to say something?
What do you call a polar bear on a desert island?
A polar bear on a desert island, okay?
Lost.
Don't complicate things. Lift your hands all across this place. This coming week, may the grace, that favor of our Lord Jesus Christ that was with Esther and gave her favor in the sight of the king and of all the people that look on her. May the grace, that favor of our Lord Jesus Christ that was with Joseph, that prospered all his way, even in the prison, he was promoted, and all the way to the right hand of Pharaoh. May the grace, that favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion, the sweet friendship of the Holy Spirit, be with you and your families, now and forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said,
Amen.
God bless you all. We'll see you again. Happy Resurrection Day.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Dear friends, I'm so glad you tuned in today. I want to share with you how praying in tongues can unleash God's power in your life. There are times we are confronted by situations and we don't know how to pray. It might be a loved one who is unwell or a difficult financial challenge. My friend, I want to encourage you with a special teaching kit to help you learn about speaking in tongues. In this kit is a powerful booklet about the many benefits of praying in the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you release rivers of living water into your challenging situations.
This month, we're giving you Joseph's powerful teaching series and a bonus book on praying in tongues for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And for a gift of $75 or more, you'll receive this specially curated set that will give you a deeper understanding of the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Call now and you'll also receive this teaching series as a digital video resource. Thank you for your gift that allows us to reach even more people with the gospel of grace. Visit josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-901-4300.
As you worship the Lord, God fights your battles. Worship in Greek is pros kunio. Pros is to come close. Kunio, kiss. When we worship God, we are coming close to God to kiss.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
Join our digital service every Sunday at gracerevonline.com. Help us proclaim the life-changing gospel of grace far and wide. Join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. You can make a real difference in the lives of many today. Visit josephprince.org or call 877-901-4300 to find out more. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.